The Seventh Daughter contains scenes of realistic violence and graphic sexuality. It is intended for mature listeners.
See before you the Virgin, robed in white, surrounded in an aureole of light. 21 days ago, we welcomed the Seventh Daughter into our presence. We placed her on a pedestal and genuflected at her feet, as if she were the Virgin herself. We shared the loving cup, as if she were one of us. But at the core, she is not one of us. She is different. But tonight, we shall all become the same, unified in a ritual of transubstantiation. Just as the Roman Catholics consumed the body and the blood of Christ as wafers and wine, so shall we feast on the flesh of our girl who would be queen. And thereafter, may her powers flow through our veins.
Have you come seeking knowledge? Do you wish to know the truth? Allow me to show you. Close your eyes and follow the sound of my voice. Allow it to lead you further into the past. When I remove my blindfold, you may look into my eyes. Don't just look at them, look through them. And you will see what they have seen. And all my secrets will be revealed.
The Seventh Daughter.
In her right hand she shall hold the snake, the symbol of the first deceiver, true God of
okay,
man
here.
And liberty.
Hold this. Don't squeeze it, just let it rest there. It's heavy. Don't be frightened, it's not venomous.
And in her left, the rook, representing her earthly master and king, who shall unfurl a blanket of darkness upon the land.
Hold out your left arm. Further out. Out like that, yes, for as long as you can.
I have it now. Thank you.
It is tradition that every wedding be attended by a witness. And for that role, we have found someone quite special to the girl.
Yes, right down here in the front, where she can have a clear view.
Rose.
Surprised, my dear.
What have you done to her?
Why, nothing at all. She's been a guest here. She has been shown every courtesy, and, for her own benefit, we have denied her the narcotics that have poisoned her body. But it appears that sobriety does not entirely suit her.
Rose!
Silence!
Is she in her right mind? You know her better than I, and perhaps you can tell.
Tell me, Pandora, is she really your mother, or is that another of her fabrications?
It's a lie. My mother was called Davina.
Oh, but my dear, that is Davina. Didn't you know? Darling, you've suddenly gone pale. You see, I knew her before you knew her. I didn't recognize her at first. She certainly is a mistress of deception. But Baron von Schrenk, bless his soul, made the connection.
Rose.
Don't look at her. Look at me. Yes, that's better. You mean to tell me that all this time she never told you? You never knew? Psychic powers, indeed.
Allow me to speak to her. I will find the truth.
Oh, it's a little late for that. We've obtained all the information we need. Besides, we have a ritual to perform.
Yes, we do.
Are you not reluctant to proceed?
I'm ready to do what I came here to do.
Then let us commence. Step forward, Pandora. Approach the star carved in the floor. Take your place at its center. The blood is the life, and only through the shedding of blood can sacrifice be made. Only by bathing in the blood of the beasts of the wild and the blood of the fruit of the land can the girl a woman become. Hold it by the horns. Raise its head back as far as you can. That's it. Mysterium Baphometis revelatum e impuritatis convicti.
Enough of this! Stop it!
Blood of the beasts, my dear. Just following the script. Ah, Pandora. I had such high hopes for you. I so wanted you to be real.
I'm more real than you know.
Are you now? Be that as it may, in an hour's time it won't matter whether your powers were a gift from the gods or mere parlor tricks. They will be gone.
Try and take them.
Is there anything you wish to say before we begin?
Yes. I thank you for the privilege of being brought before you to carry out the prophecy of the ancestors. I wish to pay tribute to Divina, my mother, before whose eyes I shall fulfill the promise of my youth. May I have your...
Is it true,
Rose?
I have nothing to say. I want no part of...
May I have your blessing?
It is true.
Neither angel nor devil shall stay.
Tell me, mother,
when the great achiever makes a command.
What is it you wish to know, my child?
I wasn't talking to you, goat fucker. What saith the great deceiver? Rose!
The great deceiver says, render unto Caesar what a
show of mercy,
and to all who follow in his
kill will. Them all.
As you speak, thus do I create.
No, don't release the raven yet! Pandora, don't put down the serpent. It isn't time yet.
It's time.
Get back in your place, Pandora.
That's enough. Get back where you belong.
Out of my way.
If you don't get your...
She has a knife!
Oh no, Corbeau. I've gotten blood on my wedding dress. Just as you predicted, O Holy One.
Stop her!
Tonight, I meet my destiny.
Do you hear me? What do I pay you for?
Tonight, we all meet our destiny.
One more step, you little tease.
Rose!
And I'll put a bullet through both sides of her head.
Kill the blackbird.
Drop the knives.
Rose.
Drop the knives.
Forget about me.
Drop the knives.
Pearl!
I can't. I'm not as strong as I thought I was.
No. No!
Rose!
No!
Let me go!
Thank you.
Who am I?
You are my daughter. But you are so much more. You may only be a child, but you shall tear down the walls of his temple. You cannot correct all the wrongs in the world, but you can put an end to this one.
When? When?
When I tell you.
Put her down.
Just
lay her down. Good. Here, take my jacket. You're sure her hands are tied tightly?
She's not moving.
Fine. Now get out.
Yes, sir.
Find out where the hell Baxter is and have her wait outside. Lock the door, double lock it.
Hurry.
And no matter what you hear, no matter how loudly she screams, do not open that door.
Are you sure you don't need me to stay here and...
I have the key. No one else opens this door. Now be gone.
Yes, sir.
I can do this. I can do this. If I concentrate and imagine...
Oh. This is what you wanted, Corbeau. All along. Why bother with all the rest of it? The rituals, the harebrained philosophy. Truly, what is the purpose of all that?
It fortifies me, gives me strength and power, as you'll soon discover.
Then I suggest you start your incantations. Quickly. Wait. Where are you going? What harm could a teenage girl, with both hands tied, possibly do to the earthly lord of darkness?
What is that?
If I'm not mistaken, it's a G sharp.
You little witch!
An old Muslim thuggy trick. Right now, the wire is working as a noose. But if I give it one strong tug...
No, please!
It will become a razor.
Shh.
But right now, listen. If you like, I can loosen the noose for you to summon the beast from the pit. Just like that. Squeeze. And release. Squeeze. This is your last chance, Corbeau. If there is a god or a devil, now is the time for it to show itself.
His hand against the mage.
Show me the power of darkness, Corbeau.
Lucifer.
Go on. Make a believer
of
me.
Of the whore.
Have Satan strike me dead.
Master the beast, the lord of darkness.
There is no Satan, Corbeau. There is no god. But there is a woman named China Rose. She is the great deceiver. And for what you did to her, thus do I. In the name of Divina. Do unto you. Red is the blood shed by all men. Don't worry. It's not my blood. It's theirs. I brought a trophy for you. Just like Salome.
Oh. He's even uglier in death.
Oh, Rose.
I realize I was harsh with you, Pearl. And for that, I am sorry. But I didn't mean to be cruel. I truly didn't. And if I was cruel, it was to keep me from loving you.
What would have been so bad about loving me? Rose, why didn't you just tell me the truth?
The truth was too painful.
I was strong.
Not too painful for you. Too painful for me. It was bad enough that I gave up my child and allowed her to be raised by strangers. But for a mother to tell her child that she abandoned her. You can't imagine what that would be like. To admit that I'd betrayed my child. That I'd deprived you of a mother's love. I just couldn't. It was easier for me to be a stranger to you. That way I could be close to you without having to reveal my betrayal. I didn't mind that you hated me. As the great deceiver, I relished your hatred, because you hated the role I was playing, not the person I actually was. If you had known I'm your mother and hated me for leaving you, I could not have borne it. So I concealed the truth.
You'll tell me now.
What do you wish to know?
Everything you've hidden.
What does it matter now? You are the princess, the queen. You have everything you could ever hope to possess.
Tell me now.
I haven't much breath.
Then speak slowly and spend it wisely.
Pearl. For a time, we were going to be a family. There was only the two of us then, your father and I. When I found out I was carrying you, I was ecstatic. I think in his own way, even your father was happy about it. But I swear that man had a demon inside him. Kaglios, your father, was his own worst enemy. He had to win every argument, every game of cards, every fight. He was a talented psychic. He was a lousy card player and a pitiful fighter. He couldn't stand to lose. He used to take $20 gold coins, punch holes in them, and sew them like buttons down the front of his vest. Oh, on more than one occasion I saw him, having a run of bad luck in a card game, pull the last gold button off his vest and put it in the pot, leaving the club drunk, his vest hanging open like a tramp. Corbeau was everything Kaglios wanted to be, and wasn't. Corbeau had succeeded where your father had failed. The more Kaglios learned about Corbeau, the arrogant, wealthy Corbeau, the more he yearned to take advantage of him, somehow. Corbeau was always looking for women to participate in his sex magic. Everyone knew it. And sometimes I think his whole temple was just an excuse to have sexual relations without any of the obligations that come with what some people might call love, as long as it was part of some working, some ritual. Then he could have other men's wives, teenage girls, women of all races, and men too. It was silly that he needed this to justify his puerile hobbies, but that was Corbeau in a nutshell. Beneath all his demonic rituals and outrageous behavior, he was still a repressed English schoolboy at heart. He couldn't just pay a prostitute for sex. He had to perform a magical working, even if it was between two garbage cans in a dark alley. It wasn't the sex that attracted all his followers. There are some who seek power and are willing to ally themselves with the worst possible tyrant. Upstanding, church-going folk, willing to excuse his immoral behavior because they stand to gain wealth and influence at the feet of this man who cares about no one but himself. Eventually, your father found Corbeau's weakness. The one thing that Corbeau believed in, hoped for, yearned to possess, and was willing to pay for, but had been denied him.
A seventh daughter.
Finding a seventh daughter was an almost impossible task. But Caglios spent years creating the illusion of one. Of course, we didn't have any children, but your father wove an elaborate tapestry of deception. He found a photographer who specialized in memento mori, photos of the dead children in caskets surrounded by flowers. Caglios paid the photographer for a gallery of images to represent our dead children. Ugh. And had him etch his name in the negative plates. Caglios pushed the photographer to go further, provided him with a sash bearing the family name so he could drape it across a casket and take a picture when the family wasn't watching. Another time he put our name on a wreath and placed it by the body. We got the photos. The families of those dead babies never knew. Death certificates were easy to obtain. For a county clerk to earn a few dollars by issuing a death certificate for someone who didn't exist? Where was the harm in that? Once Corbeau was reasonably convinced, that was about the time that I became pregnant. And your father thought, the pièce de résistance. Let Corbeau see and feel the baby within me.
Wait.
Yes. You have a question?
No.
So once it became obvious that...
How did you know I'd be a girl?
Oh, Pearl. Do you really think that badly of me? It didn't matter whether you were a girl or a boy. We had no intention of giving you to Corbeau. It only mattered that I was with child. And yes, he had a doctor examine me, to be sure. This was our plan. In those days, in the tenement district, abandoned children were quite common. And for a modest amount of money, it would be possible to, adopt a child from the unwed mother or a family with more mouths than they could afford to feed. We'd take her on as an apprentice and sell her to Corbeau. He'd give her a life of luxury. We'd take the 20,000 and run like hell. We would obtain an infant. Girls have less earning potential, so this would be simple. I would have my child, which we would hide, and we would hand over to Corbeau a changeling, the baby we had obtained from some wretch of the slums.
And so...
As I said, Caglios had never been able to beat Corbeau in anything. And Corbeau, being suspicious, wanted to be sure that the child he had purchased, my child, the one in my belly, was the one he received. He was suspicious of Caglios. But in me, in the child, he always believed. For a while I was happy. He just needed to warm in the oven a little longer. We were a family that had a future together. But... Oh, your father never told me our little plan had been foiled. But he didn't have to. I told you, he was a terrible card player. I could read his face as if it were a newspaper. And the headlines were bad. Very bad. Corbeau has a great many influential friends. Many in the medical profession. Men who know how, at the appropriate time, to cut open a woman's belly and extract the child. He wanted to see it. See you come out of me. Caglios couldn't even pretend to be happy. All the liquor in the world couldn't hide the panic that was eating away at his guts. He turned hateful toward everyone, myself included.
Where are you going?
Out.
Out where?
To earn money, to get food. One of us has to work.
Not by yourself, you don't. I'll send someone with you.
How about you go work and I take care of the baby? I was nothing to him but an incubator. A bitch, heavy with pups. The goose preparing to lay the golden egg.
Me.
Oh, don't feel bad. I loved you. I suppose in a perverted way he loved you too. Your birth represented to him a chance for wealth, a new beginning. You were worth more to him than anything else in the world. Maybe not all the gold in the world.
Just 20,000 in gold.
That's right. That's exactly how much he loved you, Pearl. And not a penny more. All the while I pretended not to notice his trembling hands. Pretended not to notice that he could no longer hold my gaze. Pretended everything in our marriage was fine. Bided my time. Caglios burned through all the money we'd socked away, including the $1,000 down payment Corbeau had given us. And even if we'd tried to return his money and cancel his deal, he wouldn't have allowed it.
So what did you do?
We had to go back to work. Just to survive.
All right, you can relax. I booked an 8-week run with the Sewell brothers.
Sewell brothers? That lousy ragtop that you swore you'd never work with again?
That's right. I'm pulling the corpse routine.
You want to take me back to the South while I'm carrying a child? Work for those Georgia crackers that already swindled you out of...
What do you care? You don't gotta work. I'm the one working. That's what you wanted, right? I'm pulling the corpse routine. And while I'm in the ground, you stay in the wagon and don't go out.
What is the corpse routine?
Ah, the amazing hypnotic corpse. It's a buried alive routine. Not many people have the nerve to pull it off. But Caglios was desperate, and aside from biting the heads off of chickens, it was all he was going to get. How it works is, on the day you pull into town, you stage a big burial. You get the whole troop out there in their Sunday meeting clothes. Brass band, pallbearers, a minister. Invite the newspapers and as many mourners as you can scare up. So they put him in a coffin, bury him 6 feet in the ground, and onto this window they attach a viewing tube, a long, narrow box.
He's being buried in a specially designed coffin that will enable medical authorities to study his remains.
So once he's in the ground, people can pay their nickel, walk up and look down into that tube, and see the face of a dead man. He put a little phosphorus paint on his face to make himself look pale and starved. Most that would happen is if someone dropped a nickel down the tube, he'd open his eyes and snarl at him. You could hear him scream and see him go running.
that was his act.
Oh, pretty much. When no one was around, they'd drop food down to him and let him have a smoke. God forbid another pint of whiskey. Otherwise, he'd just lie there, pockets stuffed with nickels he'd collected, suffocating in his own filth. For 3 days and three nights, just like our Lord and Savior, and on the third day, they'd stage a resurrection. Tickets to that cost a dime. Have a fella claiming to be the county coroner. In small towns, you could get the real McCoy. They'd dig him up and proclaim it a miracle. Hallelujah! Pack up the coffin, move on to the next town, and start all over again the following day. About 2 weeks into the circuit, we're in Birmingham. Weekend spot. Just like any other. They bury him. The band plays. The minister prays. And everybody mourns on cue. No sooner is he in the ground than a telegram catches up to us.
Caglios, care of Sewell Shows, general delivery, Birmingham. Arranged doctor in Memphis for operation Wednesday. Blackbird en route.
Blackbird en route. The bastard had sold me out. That's the only reason he'd taken us on the circuit, so I'd be stuck in the hell that is Dixie with no one to trust. I didn't confront him with it. Never asked him. I simply got up off that bed, rose from the dead, grabbed the grip I'd packed 2 weeks earlier, my traveling bag, and I caught out through the back of the banner line. Didn't say nothing to nobody. I just ran as fast as my swelled up legs would carry me. And once I was off the fairgrounds, an old fella in a fruit cup took pity on me and gave me a ride to the station.
What happened to Caglios once he got out of the grave?
Yes, well, I'm afraid I must save that story for another time. Took a night train heading south, hoping to make it to New Orleans. But I wasn't used to being on my feet, being laid up on my back for so long, and I guess you sort of got jostled loose. Made it as far as Atlanta when my water broke and I knew I couldn't wait no longer. Got off at Terminal Station, went to Decatur Street where people like me can move about. Found a baby doctor and started having you as soon as I laid down on his table. Didn't hardly give him time to wash his hands. I didn't have an easy time of it. You were all tangled up inside me.
Listen to me, my dear. The birth is not going to be easy. The cord is wrapped around the child's neck. If it would bring you relief, we can leave it as it is for about 5 minutes. And then I'll remove what remains.
I reckon the doctor thought he was doing me a kindness. He saw I was alone and I wasn't wearing a wedding band, and this kind of doctor probably loses as many babies as he delivers, if you get my meaning.
Why didn't you go to a hospital?
They would have kept a record of my name and a record of your birth, and I needed both of us to vanish without a trace.
Yes, but a man like that...
A man like that... Don't ask questions.
If you prefer, I can try to reposition the fetus.
Do whatever you need to do, Doc. To save the baby.
It may take some time. And it may be difficult for you.
Difficult? Don't worry me.
As you wish. Is there anyone? Anyone we can notify? Should things not go according to plan? well, then.
I paid him $25, and part of that money was paying him to forget I had ever been there, for allowing me to walk out of there the next morning. No birth certificates, no questions. Oh! Is she okay? Is she okay?
She's fine.
I rented a room in a boarding house till I was strong enough to travel. Then I headed east. Had a typist draw up a letter committing you to the convent school. Gave you the name Lelia Pearl Parkhurst, daughter of William A. Parkhurst III. Wife deceased. Sent the school a wire saying a colored servant would deliver you to the school and that they would be provided $100 a year to provide for your education and care. So you see, they never saw your father. They just knew your father's name and had his signature.
Your signature?
Which is why it was so easy for me to sign it again, 11 years later. And I left them the tarot card.
The High Priestess. So you took me to the convent school.
That's right. They didn't give me a second glance. I was the delivery girl. They only had eyes for you. And maybe that $100 a year that I sent them for 10 years. You see, all the time Corbeau knew me and Coglios, he knew me as a white woman, which I wasn't, technically. Everybody thought I was white, and believe me, life was easier that way. I used to go to painful lengths to bleach my skin and marcel my hair. When I needed to change my identity, I gave that up, went back to my natural color, and spoke in a tongue that ain't gonna be spoken by no white woman. That's why people didn't recognize me as Rose. And after that, I disappeared.
During the 11 years I was at the convent school, what were you doing?
Wasn't much I could do. I knew Corbeau had his Pinkertons looking for me. And you. But only I knew where you were. And if they found me, they would have made me tell. So I couldn't let them find me. I couldn't perform anymore. Out of the question. So I found other ways to make money. I became a normal person. Less than normal. Took on anonymous work. No one would recognize me because it's the kind of work where no one looks you in the eye. Moved from one city to another. In every city, a different name, a different story to my life. Always changing, always being someone different, never being me. I won't lie to you. There were times when I thought about ending it all. Life was just that bad, that lonely. But if anything happened to me, who would pay the $100 a year to the school? And what would become of you when the bill couldn't be paid? That's what kept me alive. An obligation to you. I wanted to write to you, wanted to see you, but I didn't dare. I just kept washing dishes, cleaning floors.
Mother.
Don't call me mother. Not now, not ever. You'll slip and say it when someone's listening.
Mother. Mother, mother.
Foolish girl, you're gonna ruin everything.
Mother, it is finished. There's no more hiding who I am and who you are.
No. I suppose not.
Before we open the door, will you do something for me?
Anything.
Give me your blessing. A mother's blessing.
Oh, I don't deserve
it. Please! I betrayed your trust. I disobeyed. And now I humble myself before you.
Stop that, Pearl. Get up from there.
I hated you for making me like this. Making me obsessed with fakery and revenge. The years of punishment and training. But when I descended from the throne that first time, I realized that even though I hated you, you had brought me to this point. You had prepared me. You had given me the confidence and strength to stand up to you. So I owe you an enormous debt of gratitude for that.
I do love you, Pearl. You have to believe that. You want my blessing? Then have it. You are my daughter, but you are so much more. You are yourself. You are Samson, Salome, the Golem, the Goddess, all rolled into one. You are fire and brimstone made flesh. May you live to conquer all who stand in your path, or else die trying.
Amen.
Amen.
I must now replace my blindfold. As my vision begins to fade, your own senses will gradually return. Return to the warmth and the light of your own reality.
The Seventh Daughter is a production of iHeartRadio, written and directed by Brett Wood. Recorded and mixed by Rob Gow. Featuring Minka Wiltz as Rose, Elizabeth Hunter as Pearl, and Kevin Godley as Corbeau. Also starring Andrew Benader, Keith Brooks, Alexandra Ficken, Rachel Frawley, Sarah Beth Hester, Shelby Hoffer, Tim McDonough, Kelly O'Neill, Lisa Paulson, and Troy Willis. Original music by Rob Gow. Additional music by Flournoy Holmes. Special thanks to Tamika Campbell, Paul Deccant, Sherry Larson, Adam K. Thompson, and executive producer Ben Bolin.
You may now open your eyes.